Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. I'd love to introduce you today to a new podcast from a host you might recognize, Be My Guest with Ina Garten from Food Network. In each episode of Be My Guest, Ina does what she does best. She hosts a friend at her home to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking an incredible meal or two. Even before she was a culinary icon, she was a dinner party queen. And cooking and making fascinating conversation are absolutely Ina's thing. And honestly, I can't think of a way I'd rather spend an evening than doing that with her. So in the episode we'll be sharing with you today, actor Stanley Tucci joins Ina for Easy Oysters Rockefeller. Then he takes over the kitchen to make cacciucco, a Tuscan fish stew, and yes, there will be cocktails. If you like the episode, be sure to follow Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. And so, without further ado, here's an episode of Be My Guest with Ina Garten.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. Welcome to the audio podcast of my show, Be My Guest. I've invited some really interesting people to visit me. Some are old friends and some are new friends. We'll share stories that will hopefully amuse and inspire you. And you're invited too. How fun is that? I love to invite interesting people to my house for good food, great conversation, and lots of fun. My friend Stanley Tucci, the amazing award-winning actor, writer, director, and TV host, is joining me for a wonderful day at the barn.
Ina has asked me to come over and cook with her, which is like kind of a dream that I once had, and now it's coming true. I can't wait. I'm very excited. We're going to make a cocktail, and we're going to cook.
Stanley's mixing me my first ever martini, and I'm making him Easy Oysters Rockefeller to celebrate.
Oh, my God.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Are you kidding?
We're talking love, life, his glittering career, the best of times, and the worst of times.
I lost my taste and smell and couldn't eat, had to eat through a feeding tube for 6 months.
Then we're heading back to the kitchen to make Stanley's amazing Tuscan fish stew.
Cacciucco. Yes,
God bless
it
you.
Is. God bless you. Yes.
We're cooking, sharing confidences.
Cheers.
And heading to the beach. Be my guest.
Essere mio ospite.
Oh, that sounds so much better in Italian. Maybe I'll change the name of the show.
Yeah.
I've known Stanley for a couple of years, but we've only talked on Zoom. I'm so looking forward to being in the same place at the same time. It's going to be really fun. So Stanley, when he arrives, is going to make me one of his famous martinis. I've never actually had a martini, so I'm kind of scared, but I'm going to do it. And I thought I would make oysters Rockefeller to go with it. So first I've melted some butter, and I'm going to put shallots in. This is really the spinach topping that goes on the oysters. I'm just going to let the shallots cook for a few minutes, a little salt and pepper. I want them to have great flavor. Okay, and then I'm going to put a little Pernod in, a few tablespoons. It's got that kind of licorice flavor that's good with oysters. I'm going to reduce this for about 3 to 4 minutes, and while that happens, let me tell you about Stanley. Stanley is a multi-talented, Oscar-nominated actor, director, producer, writer, TV host, and author. He grew up in New Jersey in a food-obsessed Italian family. He started performing in high school and majored in acting in college. He starred in more than 100 films, from his Oscar-nominated role as a serial killer in Lovely Bones to blockbusters like The Hunger Games, his own movie Big Night that he also co-directed, Julie and Julia, and the iconic Devil Wears Prada, where he met the lovely Emily Blunt, who is now his sister-in-law. Stanley has acted in legendary TV shows, hosted his own food and travel series, Searching for Italy, and performed in more than a dozen plays on and off Broadway, winning Emmys, Golden Globes, and a Tony, a longtime foodie. He's written cookbooks and his best-selling memoir, Taste, My Life Through Food. A father of five, Stanley lost his first wife, Kate, to cancer, courageously faced his own fight with throat cancer, and found happiness again with Emily's sister, Felicity. He's truly an inspiring Renaissance man. Stanley is such an incredible guy. I've got so much I want to talk to him about. Okay, this is reduced. The next thing I'm going to put in is creamed spinach. Usually when you make oysters Rockefeller, it's done with fresh spinach. But it's got so much liquid in it, and it's just such a big deal to deal with it. And I find, learned from a friend of mine, that if you start with frozen creamed spinach that's been defrosted, it makes really good oysters Rockefeller. When I heard that Stanley was going to make me martinis, I thought, oysters, martinis, they go really well together. This has to reduce for just a few minutes.
I'm on my way to Ina's, and I'm going to cook with her, for her, with her. I'm very excited. Can't wait.
Stanley should be here soon. I'm just going to put this topping on the oysters. I'll just spoon some of the spinach mixture onto each oyster on the half shell. I have them nestled in crinkled aluminum foil on a sheet pan to hold them level, making sure their juices stay in the shells. Then I'll sprinkle them evenly with a quarter of a cup of freshly grated Italian Parmesan cheese and a quarter of a cup of grated Gruyere. These are ready to go into the oven, 450 degrees for just 6 to 8 minutes, just until the cheese melts, the spinach is hot, and the oysters are just barely cooked through. These are going to be so good, and this is going to be a really fun day.
Okay, so we're just here, about to arrive at Ina's.
I'm just going to finish them off with a little fleur de sel. Just give them even more flavor.
So this is the place that I've seen for so many years on television. Thought it was going to be a little nicer than this. Oh, well. We'll make do. Ina?
Stanley, hi. Come on
in. I got the right date.
You got the right date. You got the right place. You got the right person.
I'm so glad.
So happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you,
too. We've known each other forever, and yet we've never been in the same place.
I know. It's such an honor.
Thank you. It's so great to have you here. I made oysters because I understand you're making martinis. Is that right?
Yes, you understand correctly.
How jealous are you? And I thought oysters go with martinis, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So I made oysters Rockefeller for you. How's that? But first, let's make a martini.
That. Yeah, let's make a martini.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I've never had a martini in my life.
Really?
Seriously. So this is my first.
You got to get out more, right? Yeah. Really?
I've had a lot of cocktails, but I've never actually had a real martini. But you make the best ones of all.
This is true. Okay. This is true. Okay, so let's do it. So there are a number of ways to make a martini, since it's your first one. I'm not going to make it super dry.
So super dry means that there's less vermouth in it.
Yes, exactly.
Almost. Are you the one who said you just fill a glass with gin and wave it in the direction of Italy?
Yeah.
And
that was the Noel Coward's quote.
Oh, that was?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, but I like to pretend I said it. Yeah.
It was so clever.
So a white vermouth. This is 3/4 ounce.
Do you remember the first time you had a martini? Is it kind of like sex? You remember the first time and who you had it with?
Yeah, I think the first time I had a martini, or do you want to talk about the sex? No, martini. The first time I had a martini, I believe, was at a restaurant that's still there on the Upper West Side, Café Luxembourg.
Luxembourg. I love Café Luxembourg.
It's a great restaurant.
And it's like 40 years old, and it's still so good.
I know. Yeah. And I used to go there all the time when I was painting apartments to make money, or I was working in a restaurant to make money. I would go on a weekend, I'd save up some money, and I would go sit at the bar and have martinis and eat the free hard-boiled eggs they had on the, you know, like they have in French restaurants.
Yeah,
you know,
those little exactly. Things.
And that was my dinner.
Oh,
yeah, it was
how
incredibly
wonderful.
Unhealthy.
If
diet.
You'd only known then what you know now.
I know. So
okay,
I'm going to do a big
three-quarters
splash of that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's vermouth.
That's vermouth. Now, gin. So that is 2 ounces.
Okay,
I see.
That's 2 ounces?
Yeah.
So that's four ounces.
4 ounces, yes.
Whoa.
I know. So now, just stir it.
Oh, so it's really about diluting it. So in a way, shaking a cocktail is about diluting it, and this is too.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between shaken and stirred?
The stirred
style?
It has a slightly more delicate taste. You don't get any of the little pieces of ice.
Okay, two glasses.
Two glasses. Oh, I'm very excited.
So I'll always remember who I had my first martini with.
Yes, I know. I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm very flattered. Okay.
It's funny. There's no color, liquid, but it's so elegant. It's so elegant.
It is. And to me, with oysters.
With oysters? Isn't that a good combination?
It's the best combination.
Oh, good.
Look at how perfect that is. Look at
perfect.
That. Now, zest.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So you taste
a little bit of that.
It's the first thing that you taste when the
Some
lip
people
of the...
say don't do that, but I think it's really nice.
You know I think it's really nice.
I'm going to put a lemon and an olive in mine.
Oh.
Yes, I'm greedy. You can put anything you want in it, really, I guess. Except pineapple.
Except a meatball.
Except a meatball, although it's tempting.
I want an olive now, too.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I know,
I really
right?
do.
I know.
Yeah, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ready?
Kiss me goodnight.
Well, that's just the camera's on. Cheers. Thank
to
you for
Stanley's
having me.
Martinis.
Thank you.
That's gorgeous.
It's nice, right?
It's totally gorgeous. I thought it was going to be sheer alcohol, and
no.
It's not.
That really dilutes it. It's lovely, isn't
so
it?
So want to taste some of my oysters to go
of,
with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where are these?
So these are oysters Rockefeller. They're local oysters.
Oh, okay.
And I have a secret in it. I make them with cream spinach.
Oh, my God, you're so smart. I knew you were
How's
smart.
That? You knew I was smart.
I didn't know you were that smart. Well, I'm so excited. I love oysters Rockefeller. Oh, my God.
Not bad. Hmm?
Not bad?
Not bad.
Are you kidding? That's perfect.
Thank you.
Wow.
So let's
Where
take
do you
our martinis.
Go? Yeah.
And our oysters.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go sit down. I have so much to talk to you about.
Okay, good.
How great is this? I have you all to myself.
No, I'm so thrilled. You have no idea.
Isn't it great? So, Stanley.
So, Anna.
I think there are two kinds of people in this world. The kind that say at 8 o'clock at night, they go, I'm a little hungry. Oh, that's right. I forgot to have breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And then there are people who at breakfast are deciding what they're going to eat for lunch and dinner. Yeah. I think I know which one you are.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
So when you were growing up, your family talked about food all the time, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
Everything was about food. We always talked about food as we were eating, particularly on a Sunday when we're eating like a classic ragu.
So yeah. Describe how you make a ragu.
Okay. So a classic ragu, it's a meat-based dish, which is cuts of beef, and you're basically making a slow-cooked sauce. Then you take the meat out, you set it aside, you toss the pasta with that sauce.
So you had the pasta first, and then the meat.
And then the meat.
Which is a classic Italian way to cook.
Yeah.
Do you only cook Italian?
It's what I'm best at.
And
so I play it safe.
when you're cooking, are you like me? When I'm cooking, I'm always sure it's going to turn out badly. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I am just terrified because they're coming to my house. They expect it's going to be fabulous. And I'm like, it's never going to be as good as they expect. Are you that kind of nervous cook?
Without question.
Oh, good.
Without question.
I'm relieved.
Very nervous, very nervous. I know we're going to cook together,
yeah.
Right? And I was quite nervous about it. Still am.
You don't have to be nervous with me.
Okay. But just don't taste it. Yeah, I am. I'm very nervous. And I am the person who, if it doesn't quite work out.
I'm miserable.
I go to bed at night. I wake up in the middle of the night.
I'm never cooking again.
Why did that happen? Yeah, I'm never cooking again. I should let Felicity just cook. And, you know.
And then the next day you start all over again, right?
Yeah, I agree. I wake up every day. Well, thank God. Then
that
means
so
I'm alive.
Yeah.
But when I go down and get the kids ready for school and all that, inevitably I will start cooking something during that process.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I'm just like, those peppers are going to go off. I got to cook those peppers now. And then I'm like cutting the peppers, sautéing the peppers so that I can just put them aside. Then I know they're done. Then I can figure out what I'm going to do with them.
Yeah.
But it also relaxes me.
Yeah.
It just
puts you in that zone.
It puts me in that zone.
In your book, Taste, you talk about your family's history and that you always talked about food, which is so important, and
things that were important to you in food. And then at the end, you reveal the most terrifying thing that could ever happen to somebody is your experience with cancer.
Yeah.
But once you've gotten past that, did you change your life after that?
I was obsessed with getting back to the life that I once had before I had cancer and before I lost my taste and smell and couldn't eat, had to eat through a feeding tube for 6 months and all that.
Did you decide there are things like food that you wanted to really focus on?
It was in my mind before, there's no question.
Yeah.
Because I had the idea of doing the show many years ago, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Even when I started the show, I there was a lot that I couldn't eat.
Yeah.
I could taste everything, but I couldn't eat everything. And I wanted to learn, but I also wanted to show people that Italy isn't just pasta and pizza and whatever. Do you know what I mean? That it's so complicated and that it's not always sunny and it's not always happy. You know, that it's a very complicated country.
So when you were making Big Night, I think one of the things you did was you worked at La Madre.
Yes.
To learn how a kitchen was like.
Yeah.
And you worked with the very famous chef, Johnny Scapin.
Yeah.
Did I pronounce it right?
You did, perfectly,
I did.
Yeah.
And so tell me what it's like working in a professional kitchen.
It was really, really great. You know, he taught me how to make gnocchi. He taught me how to make a risotto. He taught me so many things, how to make a frittata, all that stuff.
Love a good frittata.
Yeah.
And they're sometimes really bad.
Oh, yeah. They're often really bad. Some of mine are really bad. To me, it's one of the most interesting places in the world, a professional kitchen.
Right.
Yeah. It's brutal.
It's brutal. It's
brutal.
A really hard job.
Yeah. It's like sport. It's like acting. The adrenaline kicks in, and then everything else disappears.
Yeah.
And you're living in the moment. There's no past. There's no future. Mm-hmm. You're only doing that thing. At this incredibly high level. But it makes for a very difficult life. Because then you have to go out into the real world where it isn't extreme. It's why, you know, actors in the theater, it's so intense.
Yeah.
You're doing something that often is a naturalistic representation of life. Still, it's heightened because you're in front of 2,500 people or 1,000 people or 500, whatever.
Right.
And then when it's over, you're
it's like woof.
And then you want to have
That's when you have a nice
martini.
That's when
you have a martini, and
and you
and
go
a good
home
meal.
And have a good time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about your movie career, because it's been an extraordinary career. You've played so many different characters, it's crazy. I mean, you've done so many, I don't even know how to pick them out. But say Spotlight.
This is the Oscar-winning true story of the Boston Globe's investigation into the cover-up of child sex abuse within the Catholic Church. Stanley plays Mitch Garabedian, the campaigning lawyer who represents the victims.
How do you create that character? Did you meet Mitch Garabedian?
No, I didn't. So, I met him only after the film was made.
Did you know did you try and recreate him, or did you have an idea of what he would be?
I looked at news stories about him. I read about him, obviously, but also then watched him on video. Mm-hmm. It's like a recipe. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing what not to put in. I swear, that's it.
It's true.
Or it's like Cézanne's paintings. Mm-hmm. What isn't there is what makes them so brilliant. So what don't you put in is more important than what you put in.
Are you involved in the costumes?
Oh, yeah. The costume, to me, is crucial.
Yeah.
What shoes I wear, if it doesn't feel right and doesn't look right, we change it.
So how did the movie Julie and Julia come to you? Of course, it was written and directed by Nora Ephron, who we adore.
Yeah.
How did you end up with that?
Meryl asked me. We were at a Christmas party, and she said, would you like to play my husband in, you know, Julie.
And you said, let me think about it?
I said, yeah. Give me a few days. Of course I said yes, because I always loved Julia Child. I always thought Julia Child was one of the most incredible, one of the most incredible people in the cooking world, but also kind of in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
She was so unique and so comfortable in herself.
Yeah.
And it must have been really fun to play two people
it was.
Who just were crazy about each other.
Yeah. Because I don't have that in my real life. I was so honored to be asked to do it. And it was a really, really great experience to be able to play that guy who was fascinating. Mm. He was fascinating. Mm. And nobody really knows about him. And it was great fun to do it. Besides, some movies aren't fun.
Yes, that was fun. Exactly. That was fun. Tell me about the scene where you and she are sitting in the restaurant where she's trying to figure out what she should do with her life. You said to her, what do you want to do? What do you love to do? And she's like, well, I love to eat. Yeah. And you said, and you do it very well.
Is that what
I don't think that was in the script.
No, it wasn't.
Was a perfect moment.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, yeah. Particularly for women at that time.
Well, nobody. I mean, when I got married, decades later, it never even occurred to me that I was going to do something with my life.
And really?
Jeffrey said to me when we first got married, you need to figure out what to do with your life. And I was like, I thought I was doing it. I was married. And he said, no, I think you need to figure out what you're going to do with your life.
You have that relationship.
He just is such a support for me and such an encouragement. It's just so incredible.
But you've done, in a way, what Julia did, too. You make us feel like we can do what you do.
Thank you.
There's no nonsense.
I'm nervous about cooking, so I actually write recipes that are as simple as possible, that you can actually do, because if I can do it and I can show you how to do it, then people are going to do it. And I love when people stop me and they say, I talked them out of cook. I mean, I never expected that when I started writing cookbooks, or doing TV show. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Thank you.
You changed a lot of people's lives for the better.
Tell me about The Devil Wears Prada.
They were already filming.
Seriously?
I was the last person cast. And I said, did you test every actor in Christendom before you came to me? Anyway, they came to me and I had like a week, maybe, to prepare. I think I spent more time in the costume fittings than I did actually on set.
Wow.
So you want to bring that character to life. It's so beautifully written. But you want to make sure that it isn't a send-up, that it isn't...
a caricature.
A caricature.
You want it to be a real person.
You want it to be real. It just needed to be truthful.
You were so beloved in the movie and so important in terms of the style of the movie, and then to have that terrible disappointment at the end.
Yeah.
Is that hard to portray?
No, I'm very used to experiencing disappointment, so it was easy. No, it wasn't.
You just reach back, and that's what you do.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Yeah. I mean, we've all had disappointments in our
that's
lives.
True.
And it's just that's your job.
Well, it was wonderful.
Oh, thank
and then
you.
To go on to play with your good friend Colin Firth in Supernova.
Okay, so the movie's about a couple, a same-sex couple, who one of whom has early onset dementia. Mm-hmm. And it's
tough movie.
Really tough movie. Mm-hmm. And how they deal with that. Well, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of movies in my life. Mm. That movie was one of the most important movies to me.
Why?
The script, because the script was so beautiful. The story was so beautiful. And then the experience of filming it was beautiful.
Oh, it's a great movie.
This movie,
to
me, is one of the most important movies about love that's ever been made. There's love.
That's it. Everybody wants the same thing.
Everyone wants the same thing.
There's love and there's everything else.
Yeah.
So what makes a great day for you? You wake up in the morning and go, this is going to be a great day.
Saturday morning, waking up. The kids coming into the bedroom, always at an inopportune time. and then we go to the farmer's market, and then we cook, and we do something with the kids, play out in the garden or do whatever, and then maybe have friends over for dinner or not. Mm-hmm. Just that, to me, is the most wonderful day.
So does your wife, Felicity, cook with you?
She does. thank God. She is an amazing cook. We cook very different things. She really is great at cooking classic British food, mm-hmm. Great at roasts, and great at baking. I am not great at either of those things.
Can she teach Jeffrey how to cook?
Yes. Well, somebody has to. Yeah.
So we're going to cook together?
Yes.
What are we going to cook?
We're going to cook cacciucco.
Cacciucco?
Cacciucco.
It's not like a sneeze?
No, it's not. Yeah. God bless you.
Okay.
It's the second course. It's a fish stew, in essence.
I can't wait. I love fish stew. And you don't know that, but I just adore it. Let's go cook.
All right, good. All
right. Come with me.
All right, I'm coming.
Okay. Stanley and I are going to cook together. You're going to put me to work?
Yes, I am. I am. Finally, you have to do something. okay, so let's do olive oil first.
Here, olive oil.
As usual, yes. This has been heating up for a little bit. That's a perfect temperature now. Then we're going to do some chopped onion.
Can I cut up?
Roughly chopped.
Cut
those in thirds.
How about quarters?
Yeah, whatever you want.
I don't take direction well, do I? Yeah,
I noticed. Okay, so I'm just going to put, so basically that's like two cloves, just like that, just to give the flavor of
it. It's actually great because then it doesn't burn too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
You know what, let's just put a little more.
Oh, just put a little more. Right. Yeah, can never too much garlic.
No, you're going to, So we'll let this cook just for a little bit. Obviously don't want it to brown.
You don't want it to brown at all?
No, just want it to soften.
Well, this smells great.
So in essence, it's a really simple fish stew that came from what the fishermen used to cook from basically the offcuts of what they caught.
What they caught.
Yeah.
To make dinner.
Yeah. And they used to make it on the boat. And this is one of the healthiest things
Need a little white wine to...
I think we need a little white wine. I want to do a little more oil.
Oh, you mean for the fish stew or for us?
Oh, for us. No, for us. Yeah. I don't care about the food.
Who cares about the fish stew?
Yeah. I'm going to put
a nice little agave here.
A little more oil. Yes. Okay.
How's that?
Yes.
Something Italian.
It's
got to be Italian.
Yes, of course.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To cacciucco.
God bless you. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a splash of white
now. Okay.
Just to give it a little moisture, it'll help it cook a little. So then
we're
going to throw in the tomatoes.
Okay. Tomatoes?
Yeah, we're going to cook those. Thank you, Doc. And we're going to cook these down. Thank you, nurse. Okay, we're going to throw these in. We're going to let them get nice and mushy and soft.
Okay.
Mushy, which
mushy
is a technical term. And there we go. So this is about...
Those are nice grape tomatoes, aren't
these
they?
These are gorgeous. Yeah, they're gorgeous.
I just can't wait to finish this stew and taste it. I'm here with Stanley Tucci, and he's showing me how to make a fish stew called
cacciucco. Yes. So these have reduced now, and then let's put some basil in too.
I got basil.
And we'll salt it too.
Do you want just the leaves,
so
right?
How many
leaves?
Rip up like three of them.
Do you want them chopped up or do you want them?
No, just rip them up.
Rip them up.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. There's something about cutting basil.
I know.
I don't know, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you do like a chiffonade. Is that what you call it?
Chiffonade.
Yes.
But not
one
from
of my
Italian
favorite
dish.
Words. Yeah. No,
that's
you
one
can't
of your
do
favorite
a chiffonade.
Words. Chiffonade sounds like something you'd sit on, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, even if I had one. But yes. So I'm going to take a ladle full of this fish stock, and then, the
saffron.
Would you put a little bit of saffron
in there?
Like
a pinch? A big pinch?
Like not a huge pinch, because you don't want it to be too saffrony.
Too much, too little?
So maybe a little too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Make a little less.
Like that?
That's good.
A little more?
Yeah, do more. You're right.
Okay.
You're right. Why am I telling you what to do?
Well, because it's your stew.
It's my recipe, sort of.
It's your recipe. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay, so now, if we just...
Even the fish stock smells delicious.
Dissolve this.
Oh, yeah. That smell good?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to add now this.
This is really interesting because now the tomatoes have kind of like cooked down a little bit and they've let off their juices.
Yeah. Now we're going to add a little more of this stock.
So what's your favorite comfort food?
peanut butter and honey and banana sandwiches.
That sounds fabulous.
Like kind of warm.
How about we just leave this and we'll go.
Yeah, I know. That I love that.
That sounds amazing.
Or pasta marinara.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It's just the simplest things that are just delicious.
The simplest things make you the most happy.
Yeah, yeah.
So really now we could add the clams and the mussels.
Okay.
Okay, let's add these. And thank you. We'll add these. Okay, we're going to let this really cook down.
So do you want to put a lid on it?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I don't think I have a lid that big, but I have aluminum foil. That'll work.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Very big aluminum foil, actually. Ah, how so?
We're in America.
Does that do it? Okay. Oh,
yeah, this is
great.
Perfect.
That worked
perfect.
Perfectly. Perfect.
Yeah.
So, have you had any cooking disasters? I know Stanley Tucci doesn't have cooking disasters.
No, my whole.
But if you had a cooking disaster, what would it be?
Oh, I do remember making a timpano for my aunt and uncle and my parents one time.
Was it before Big Night or after Big Night?
I think it was
Stanley's amazing movie.
It was after.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart. It was just disastrous. I was really embarrassed about it. I felt so badly.
It was probably still delicious, though.
Yeah, it tasted good.
Tasted
yeah,
good,
it just fell apart. And just
somebody
the way it is.
Described cooking as like driving a car. I mean, the road is straight, but you still have to adjust the wheel along the way. And that just takes time to learn how to do it.
It does.
But it's worth knowing.
Yeah. No, that's actually a great analogy.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
a wonderful analogy, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm just going to check this and just give it a stir.
That smells amazing. I can smell the saffron and the seafood and the tomatoes. It's just, and the simplicity of it is incredible.
It's so simple. And it's really coming nicely. We're going to add the shrimp.
Okay.
And
I can hold the shrimp.
Yes, thank you.
Doctor?
We just pop these in and...
Oh, I love that you spread them out.
Yeah.
And some of them are in the shell and some are out of the shell.
Some are not in the shell because
Why?
I just think it's prettier.
I love that. I like that you tuck it into the... Yeah,
you gotta
that's great.
You got to tuck them in a bit. I'm going to bring it down because those shrimp are going to cook so fast. We don't want them to tighten up.
Yeah, that's one of the things about cooking shrimp. You don't want them to get tough.
No.
You want them to just be barely cooked.
Barely cooked.
And when they sit in the liquid, they're going to continue cooking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What should we do while we wait?
Let's have a glass of wine.
Works for me.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. I'm having... Keep rolling. I am having a little bit of a huge fan moment because I actually can't believe that I'm here.
Oh,
cooking
Stanley,
with you. No, I am. No, I'm like a little...
Are you kidding?
No, no, I'm not kidding. I'm an actor, but I'm not kidding. No, I really am. I cannot believe that I'm here. I'm really, just, like, incredibly honored and a little, like, overwhelmed.
A little verklempt.
Yeah, I'm a little verklempt.
Me too.
I am. No, really. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Stanley's making this incredible fish stew. I can't wait to eat this.
This is gorgeous. So the shrimp are here.
Yeah.
They're done cooking. And now I am going to take now these mussels out. Ina, will you go drain the pasta?
I could do that.
Okay.
And I'll get a facial at the same time.
Reserve a little bit of the pasta water.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All
I'll
right?
do that. Yep.
Ina, my
Of course.
God.
Hello.
What am I going to do with you?
Okay. Drained pasta.
Okay, so this is our sauce now. So if we just add a little bit of the pasta water.
Pasta water coming up, Chef.
Yes. Thank you. Add a little bit of that in there. And then the pasta.
Okay, pound of spaghetti cooked and drained.
Yes.
Shall I dump it in?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is so smart to cook the pasta in the sauce.
I made a big mess there. I'm so sorry.
That's all part of cooking.
It
you should
is.
See the mess that I make. I mean, it takes like a week to clean up after me.
And my kids always get mad at me. Like, Dad, really?
My mother used to clean while she cooked, and it annoyed me so much that I never do it. How about this?
Yes, please. Thank
is that
you.
Good?
Yes, I was hoping you might do that. Okay.
So you need some parsley?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
And do you like leaves, or do you like fine?
No, no. Chop it up. Chop it up. Fine.
Okay. Okay.
Fine. Sorry. Ordering you around.
You can order me around anytime you like.
Please.
I'm always available for orders.
I'm going to add a little bit of oil to this.
He goes, no, what are you talking about? Fine, I want fine.
That's gorgeous.
Oh, he said my parsley's gorgeous.
And I hardly know you. May I
take this?
You most certainly can. You're the chef. You know, people use parsley, I think, for the color. But the truth is, good parsley has good flavor.
Yeah.
So okay. You want to use those bowls?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Great. Great. Great.
Do you want a fork or a spoon? Or both?
Well, now, if we were in southern Italy, we would have both.
We'd have both.
If we were in northern Italy, we would have
just a fork. So we're in East Hampton.
We're in East Hampton. So a fork, a spoon, and a knife.
And a knife. Yeah. Okay, great.
I don't know.
got the whole thing.
No, chopsticks. No, I'm kidding.
How great is this?
Well, we'll find out. If you don't like it, don't be honest. And this is what I think is a really cool thing about Italian cooking. Most Italian cooking happens like that fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't spend a lot of time, and you don't have a huge number of ingredients. Because
but the ingredients you have are really good.
Yeah, they're right. Really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's do a little. Sorry.
Parsley.
There we go. Okay. Now, should we put some of these on?
Yeah.
Let's do then one shrimp that doesn't have the shell.
Look. Okay. One with the shell, and then one without.
One that's nicely opened.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
I mean, how happy would you be if you got that in a restaurant? And you can make it on your own stove.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to clean the stove for about an hour and a half afterwards.
Especially if I'm cooking it.
No, if I'm cooking too.
It's so embarrassing.
So
my wife gets a little upset sometimes. A little more parsley?
A little more parsley? Yeah. Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
Like that.
And we'll do a little drizzle of extra virgin olive oil.
Oh, that's interesting. Isn't that nice? So you get that fresh olive oil flavor.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Isn't this fabulous? Oh, my God, Stanley, thank you.
Oh, my God,
I love this.
I'm so excited.
I mean, maybe it's not any good, so I'm,
it could
you know,
be
it
really
could be
awful.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a mess of this, so excuse me in advance. That's so good.
It's good, right?
Mm. It's like layers of flavor, but it's all kind of melded together.
Yeah.
Stanley, this is heaven. Are you happy?
Happy.
I'm so happy. Thank you.
I'm in heaven. I'm with you. I cooked for and with you.
Brilliantly.
Are you kidding? Like, I don't even know. I told you I'm a little flummoxed.
Okay, after we finish this,
how
about if I take you to the beach?
Well, I hardly know you, but fine. Yeah. No, I would love that.
The beach in East Hampton is really special.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to sit by the water.
I'll take you up on that.
Okay, good.
All right. Shall we toast each other? Or is that too...
To Stanley.
Cliche? No. To you. Thank you for having me. This is the greatest... Really, it's such a great, great honor.
Such a great honor for me.
You're amazing.
Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
First things first.
Yes.
Do you design your own kitchens? I know one of the kitchens, you actually sold your house to Willie Geist, right?
Yeah.
And he just can't believe his good fortune.
Yes, I can't believe his good fortune. he got a bargain. I got news for you. My late wife and I designed the kitchen. And then I changed the kitchen, and I put in that huge island. It was an 11-foot long, 6-foot wide, single piece of marble.
Whoa. Really?
That was like that thick. It was a beautiful kitchen. I loved it.
Isn't that great? And did you do the same thing in London?
Yeah, you did.
I want
to be able to cook, talking
facing
to
out.
My family.
Yeah.
Not with.
Exactly.
I spent my whole life with my back to my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is much better. It's
so much better.
And then when you have guests, you cook and talk to everybody. It's
nice. You have a big island. Somebody can prep. And, you know, it's much more, I think it's much more communal.
Yeah.
So here's the beach.
Yeah.
Have you been to the beach here before?
I have, yes. Years
so
ago,
beautiful.
Though, years ago.
Oh, it's a perfect day here.
This is gorgeous. Oh, this is so pretty.
And I have very good parking karma, so I found a
look
perfect parking space.
Yeah, you did.
How's that?
Wow, look at that.
Okay, come with me.
All right. Happily.
So, do you want to sit right here?
Yeah, yeah.
And wait for me? I'll get us some coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fabulous.
Great. Thank
Don't
you.
Go anywhere.
No, I'm not. Why would I?
Can I have two of your gorgeous cold brew, one with milk?
You got it.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here with Ina Garten. She's made everybody's lives a lot happier, including mine. I know I have a lot of friends who are very jealous that I'm here. I'm jealous that I'm here.
Okay, one cold brew coming up.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I make really good cold brew.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice is this?
I haven't been out, you know, here for so many years, and you forget how stunning these beaches are.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially now, when everybody's gone.
Yeah, when everybody's gone, yeah.
Okay, you ready for a pop quiz?
Always, always.
What's the movie you've seen the most?
Probably Animal Crackers.
Animal Crackers? Isn't that a great choice? Of course.
Yeah.
That's really great. What's the one food that makes you happy?
Pasta.
I knew that was the answer. I could have answered for you.
Yeah.
What's the worst job you've ever had?
I did a job after my freshman year at college. I was cleaning outhouses in a camp.
Oh,
a summer camp.
Suffice it to say, you'll never have to do that job
again.
No,
I hope not.
What's the best job you've ever had?
Probably working on the Devil Wears Prada. It was probably
Both working on it and afterwards.
And afterwards,
right?
Yeah,
everybody
just
was just so out of their minds crazy about it.
Yeah, just lovely, yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What's the best present you've ever gotten?
I think a beautiful watch was given to me a long time ago.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, with the initials of my firstborn kids.
How lovely.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's lovely, yeah.
So if you could come back as anything at all, human or otherwise, what would you like to come back as?
I wouldn't mind. I'd come back as parts of myself, like a version of myself that looked like Cary Grant.
I think you're doing just fine in that department.
Well,
but maybe Cary Grant wants to look like you.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But I don't really know. I'd come back as someone who is much more relaxed than I am.
And me too.
And taller. And could stay forever young.
Stanley, I've just had such a wonderful time with you. I can't tell you. Please don't leave.
I don't want to leave. I don't want if I didn't
Cheers.
Have those kids, you know.
those annoying kids.
Cheers. And thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Hasn't it been fun?
No, I just think you're amazing.
Thank you. I think you're amazing, too.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Cheers.
Cheers. Had the most fun day with Ina today. Made a martini. Then I made a Tuscan fish stew that she liked, thank God. And it's just wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful day. It was a really, really great experience. It flew by. And filming things doesn't normally just fly by. This really did. I feel very fortunate.
It was so great to meet Stanley in person. He's just amazing. And my first martini. Why do I think it's the first of many to come? What a great day. Thank you for listening to Be My Guest. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a moment, I'd love to hear your comments on Apple Podcasts. I'll be back next week with new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you'll join us.
Hey, it's Rances again, and I hope you liked that episode of Be My Guest with Ina Garten. You know, Stanley's seafood stew sounded incredible. And if you want to hear more conversations with Ina, don't forget to follow Food Network's Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.